Lamer Gamers, this is Lamer Travis and
Rowdy 5000
for the Lamer Gamers Podcast. In today's episode, we're going to start with a news roundup where we talk about the Outer Worlds DLC and how this game makes Travis question reality after he saw a video on YouTube. It's very strange. Apex Legend was released on the Switch, but it runs. I don't know if it runs well or sideways. We'll discuss it.
It doesn't run fast.
That is true. Dying Light 2 is apparently not dying. And
Thank God, I love it.
And we heard a report that there are even more Vikings coming to raid your consoles from Valheim in the near future. More of this in the news roundup. Then, Rowdy tells us why Harvest Moon deserves to be the Lamer of the Week.
It's going to be a little bit of a rabbit hole.
Yeah, just get ready. afterwards, we talk about Watch Dogs Legion's very authentic rendition of voice acting in the Lamer Gamers Play Game segment. Oi, bro, Governor.
Oi, Governor.
Oh, no. All right. Maybe they should have just stuck with text-to-speech with this. Now, you'll understand what I mean by that. That's kind of an inside joke if you listen to the next segment. And finally, we will end with a special bonus points topic where we asked a bunch of lamers on Twitter and Discord, should Microsoft make Bethesda ZeniMax games exclusive? Now, we're asking this since Microsoft has officially acquired Bethesda. And by the way, the bonus point segment will be sponsored by the new summer blockbuster film, The Acquisition. And you'll hear a trailer for this totally real and not made up movie about a giant amorphous corporate blob that's eating tons of video game companies right before bonus points. Stay tuned for that one. All this and more, man, coming up on the Lamer Gamers Podcast.
Cue the music. Before I press the start button on the news, if you like what we're doing, don't forget to press up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start, then like and subscribe on your current podcasting provider, or any other one, except iHeartRadio. Also, check out at LamerGamersCast on Twitter and share the show with a lamer you know.
It's time for the Lamer Gamers News Roundup! Brought to you by ParallaxMedia.1.
All right, guys, let's start up with the news. Now, we've been trying to do something where we start with some news that makes us happy because we can't cover every single piece of news out there like all the other 5.5 million gaming podcasts that are done by guys with beards and they're late to mid-30s, right? So we're going to do what we want to do first. Then we'll do some other things. But something that makes me incredibly happy is that the game by Obsidian, Outer Worlds, is getting some new DLC that is going to drop on March 17th. It is called Murder on Iridanos. I don't know if that's how you say that, but it's going to come out to PC, Xbox, and PlayStation, and it is going to be, I believe, the final expansion for Outer Worlds, which, if you don't know what Outer Worlds is, it's basically, think sci-fi Fallout by the people that made Fallout New Vegas, kind of.
If you don't know what Outer Worlds is, where have you been?
They could be getting it confused with Outer Wilds, which released about the same time, and it's a roguelike mixed with Groundhog's Day mechanics that was okay, but they're not the same. Anyway, let's see what they say about this game. Venture to the skies of Iridanos and unravel the grandest murder mystery in the Halcyon colony. Everyone is a suspect in this peculiar whodunit after Rizzo's hired spokesperson, the famous Halcyon Helen, winds up dead ahead of the release of a brand new Spectrum brown vodka. Ooh. So, yeah, so it's going to be very, you know, old school sleuthing kind of thing going on, right? Now, alongside your companions, travel across the floating islands of Eridanos and piece together clues using the Discrepancy Amplifier, a new gadget. Ooh, love gadgets. A new gadget that highlights otherwise unseen hints. There's more to this mystery than meets the eye, and it's up to you and your crew, if you choose, to solve the case. Now, I will say, my main playthrough that I'll probably do this on, my dude has robophobia. And so it's not going to have the robot, I'll tell you that. So if you haven't played the game, you essentially get scars, whether they be emotional or physical. So and mine's scared of robots.
I just thought of a new drink in honor of this. It's just a shot glass full of Spectrum vodka, and it's just called spicy water.
Mmm, spicy. It's probably all it really is. All right.
Spicy water.
Here are the key features for this game, which will be coming out, or this expansion. Murder mystery, suspicions abound. It's up to you to get the bottom of the murder of this well-known celebrity in the colony. Now, it will have floating islands in Eridanos, from the luxurious confines of the Grand Colonial Hotel to Rizzo's colorful groves. But be careful about the smiling employees you counter, as there's something dark lingering under the bright, cheerful surface. They're probably fake. Something sus. They will have new weapons and character customations, so 3 new science weapons can be added to the player's arsenal alongside weapon and armor variants to use while solving the case. And you can increase your level cap by 3 and employ new perks and flaws to create your most unique character yet. So that's... I'm excited about that, Rowdy.
It sounds like it.
You beat Outer Worlds, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever do the expansion, Battle of Gorgon, or Peril on Gorgon?
I did not.
So Peril on Gorgon was actually pretty legit. It was very much enclosed in the expansion. Like, it didn't send you back to too many places outside of some of the newer areas. But I enjoyed it. It was like a little episode. So I'm hoping this one's... It actually, based on the commercial that they put out for this, it looks to possibly be a little bit higher quality. Now, here's the thing. I have other Outer Worlds news.
Uh-oh.
And it conflicts me. In fact, I'm currently questioning I can't even speak. I'm questioning reality right now, Rowdy. So, I watched a video by this AI voice company called Synontic. And they show how Obsidian, who is the creator of Outer Worlds, you know, that they use AI to develop their games, and specifically the voices. Now, you've played Outer Worlds, so you've heard them talk.
Yarp.
Did you know that they use artificially intelligent voice acting
in that game? I did not.
Now, it was also in Deadfire, too. You know, the game that I played too much and talked about way too much and told everybody they should play because the game is epic, along with the storytelling, character building, and actually good voice acting? They aren't real people, Rowdy! They're not real. I accidentally clicked on something on the screen. I'm so distressed. So, the thing is, I'm not sure what's real anymore. I haven't seen you in a while. I'm kind of you're looking a little sus to me. I'm questioning if you're real too, or if you're just an AI projection put out by Paradox.
I actually recently moved. I don't know if I told you this, but I live in a new town called Uncanny Valley. I don't know if you've heard of it or not.
Crap, did I take the blue pill? Can't do this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Where do I unplug my brain?
So he'll eventually come back. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, hold on. All right, hold on. I'm back. See,
I told y'all he'd be back.
Okay, so look, guys, I watched it again. And they say they do the voice work later and that it's only used for development. I don't know if I can completely trust them, though. So this video, I really suggest you check it out. I put it on the Twitter, and they have this AI that they use while they're developing the characters that can actually change the way their voices sound, whether they're fearful, whether they're being yelling, all this other stuff. And it's a little bonkers, man. It's actually kind of scary. And I've noticed some things with the way that they do the voices in both Deadfire and Outer Worlds that makes me kind of suspect that maybe whenever they don't have time to get somebody to come back and record something, they might just leave some of their fake voices in there. But I don't know, Rowdy.
So it makes sense that they would eventually work on this, because I know I've talked about it a little bit before, but a lot of times when I'm making music, I don't have the actual instrument that I'm trying to put in there, because I can't
like our,
play.
Like our duet. Starting song at the very beginning, isn't that all fake?
Yeah, it's all fake. Like it's so I actually recorded a version of that song where I played the guitar, I played the bass, and I played the keyboards on it. And I didn't have a good audio interface, and it just sounded awful. So I actually went through and just used a MIDI keyboard and used all MIDI instruments. So that guitar, the bass, everything in it is fake. I just played it on keyboards and then added the fake instruments on it. So if they can do that with instruments where they have I guess you wouldn't really call it an effect, but they have a slider that they have on a lot of these instruments where it humanizes the playing so that it doesn't sound too perfect.
Oh, that's fun.
So, yeah, it makes sense that they would make something like this where you can put in the different emotions and the different dynamics of voice range, different volumes and all that stuff. It makes sense, man.
So what's cool about this software or this AI is that, you know, it's not completely AI. There is still a human aspect of it where they work with a voice actor or voice actress, and they do like clips of recording of their voice. So it has a more personal touch, and they can kind of tweak things. Now, also, they still pay the actor. So if your voice is used in, you know, let's say Deadfire, there's literally tens of thousands of lines of dialogue, and they show you how they program it into the game while they're doing the development phase to get a feeling of how these characters are. They then, of course, can hire the actors separately to record their voices, and they already have like a script where what's really kind of Inception-like is the fact that they are going to listen to their robot version, fake people voice of themselves.
Nice.
And then they have to try to recreate their doppelganger's voice. It's kind of weird. I like it, but it freaks me out.
It's kind of like all my neighbors in Uncanny Valley.
Yes, and Rowdy lives there now, maybe. So, anyway, that's going to lead us into a discussion later. Maybe Watch Dogs Legion should have used AI, because what they did was not good. But we're going to hold that until we get to the games that Lamer Gabers are playing, or Lamer Gabers play games, whatever we're calling the segment. Next up, let's talk about Apex Legends on Switch.
Ew.
So, look, guys, if you only have a Switch, that's fine and dandy. You know, if you really want to play Apex Legends, go for it. But as a precaution, friends don't let friends play Apex Legend on Switch and crossplay. It just ain't right. So I found this out literally before the show, because on the GW Discord that I hang out with, they're trying to get people to come in and play Apex Legends, because it's mostly a Switch-oriented Discord. And they're like, oh, yeah, you should totally play with us. It's like, oh, okay. Well, it's cross-play, isn't it? Yeah, it's cross-play. oh, good, I'll just load it up on my Xbox Series X because it doesn't use gyro, which would be make me want to play it on the Switch. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Why? Because we'll all get murdered. Okay, so apparently the Switch version runs pretty rough. If you're only like playing with other people that have a Switch, not a big problem. But the game tends to run around 25 frames per second based on what I'm seeing online. However, there are some pretty major frame pacing issues based on what I'm seeing.
That means not a smooth 25 frames per second.
Yeah, so whenever I talk frame pacing, so imagine, we'll just say something is 60 frames a second, right? Well, you would expect each of those frames are supposed to come at your face in equal distances apart from each other, or different equal times. Well, if you're watching something that's 60 frames per second, but every, like, some frames come really quickly together, and then there's a big gap for the next one, and it just averages out to 60, it's still going to look kind of wacky. Kind of like a flip book that you accidentally flip it a little too fast and slow down. It's basically what's happening.
It would make me want to vomit.
Yeah, and that actually is a problem. People who have simulator sickness in video games, if the game has bad frame pacing, it can make you a little disoriented. So, just kind of a precaution, you might want to stay away from this one a little bit until it smooths out. But another thing is that Wi-Fi on the Switch is notoriously not great.
It's a bag of butts.
Yeah, so what Rowdy said. The Wi-Fi module has not been that great for online gaming. A lot of people that were big into Smash have, you know, gone the route of using a wired connection via USB dongle. So you might want to, if you want to play, you might want to do that, but then you're tethered and not really playing the game the way you would think. So I think that's about it for that section. So, you know, what do you expect? It's a toaster playing Apex Legends. All right, Dying Light 2, next up. Hey, Rowdy, good news, because you know about Dying Light. Dying Light 2 is apparently not dying. So,
dude, I saw the E3 announcement in, I guess, 2019 for Dying Light 2, and they showed a lot of footage. It looked a lot like the original Dying Light, but it is 10 years in the future from the original Dying Light. And I got super hyped for it, man. The very next day, I actually pre-ordered it on Amazon.
Do you still have it pre-ordered?
No, I don't. I think it was taken down.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
because, I mean, it's been up so long, and there's been a whole lot of apparently behind the scenes drama, if you want to believe the rumors. And recently they said that it has been pushed back indefinitely. And sometimes when they say that, that means the game just is dead. Which, dude, I got super worried about, because Dying Light, the original Dying Light, is an amazing game. So on Twitter, this is a Reddit post, Dying Light 2 on Twitter, we announced the game too early, but it's, oh, well, no, I'll go read that. Let's see.
So somebody was concerned about previous news, right?
So it looks like they tagged Dying Light Game at Dying Light Game on Twitter and asked, or said, the previous news worries me a lot. I'm still kind of shocked this game feels like dev hell. I hope it's not another Cyberpunk, like, be a good game, but broken and lots of missing promises. They only have one goal, create a better story and expand everything else. Give me good news. So whoever runs at Dying Light Game on Twitter says that the definition of dev hell requires the game to not make any development progress. While Dying Light 2 keeps moving forward, we announced the game too early, but it's far from being in dev hell. So,
if you, you forgot the most important part of that tweet, Rowdy.
What's that?
There's an emoji face with its tongue hanging out.
Where is that?
It's the old school emoji, though.
Oh, gotcha.
Two little dots and then a P. The way they used to do it way back in the day in the old school internet with the buzzy little boop boops modems.
But, man, like, I mean, this makes me excited because Dying Light 2, or they say Dying Light 2 is not dead, because I really, really want to play Dying Light 2. So Dying Light 1 was actually made by the people who made Dead Island. I want to say it was made by Techland and then produced, and then published by, like, Deep Silver, THQ Nordic, like, all that stuff went through all kind of crazy, like, jumping back and forth between different owners and stuff like that. So that's one thing that also kind of worried me about Dying Light 2. But the best way I could describe Dying Light is zombie parkour. And the traversal in this game is too good. I mean, I don't know how they got it down so well, but it's not like how, like, the early Assassin's Creed games when you would, you know, if you're holding the wrong button and you touch a wall and blink, the next thing you know, you're halfway up it and you didn't want to go that way. Like, this game is so, I mean, the traversal in it's so good. Like, you just, you're going exactly where you need to go. You point that direction, you go that direction. You're not, like, hopping on to random stuff left and right. And actually, when they did the original Dying Light, they were working on a bunch of, I don't know if they would call it DLC or if it was part of a sequel or something, but I know when I had bought Dying Light, since I bought it, I think I may have pre-ordered it, I got everything that they added onto the game for free, because there was a whole new section they added to the game that added a good 20 plus more hours, added vehicles to the game. It was ridiculously good. So this is good to hear. And if you haven't played Dying Light, you should go check it out. It always goes on sale for like $5. Such a good game, man.
So they are going to share more news this upcoming week on March 17th. So if you're interested in that game, check it out. There should be more coming up.
So, oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah. All right. Next up, there are rumors flying about. There are more Vikings. Because apparently, we've gone past the age of zombie video games. We got past the age of pirate video games. And now we are... Oh, then we had the age of... everybody gets dropped into a field and the last one standing lives video game. And we're currently on Viking video games. So, Valheim... Or is it Valheim? I think it's Valheim.
It's Valheim.
Okay. Well, that's coming. Well, it's a rumor. It's going to come to it. Don't worry. It's coming to the Switch, PlayStation 5, and Xbox, supposedly on Game Pass this summer. So if you own those consoles and you kind of want to go and get it on PC, hold up a minute. I hear things are happening.
Valheim is, it's kind of a play on words. It's a combination of Valhalla and Helheim.
Oh.
It's the game basically takes place in Viking purgatory.
Nice. I did not realize this.
Yeah.
That's it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, man. Like the videos I've seen for it, like, it's kind of a lower res, like, retro type style game. Mm-hmm. But surprisingly, it only takes up 1 gig on your hard drive.
Well, that's good news to hear for the people that own PlayStation 5s and Xboxes in the near future.
Right?
I wonder if, well, we'll see. I guess it would depend on if it has the next-gen enhancements. Maybe you could offload it to a regular hard drive.
Hey, believe me, man, looking at this game, you don't need next-gen enhancements. You could run this thing on a TI-82 calculator.
I got a series of potatoes hooked up, and we're going to Valhalla, boys. All right. Well, Is there any more news that you can think of that we missed? Because, I mean, there's some news out there, but everything seems to be like old games that they're re-releasing or stuff we've already talked about on the Switch. There wasn't really a lot of Switch news. I think that's really about it for the news roundup this week, other than our regular segments.
I was going to say we should skip it, but there is the rumor about the Switch Pro.
Oh, Switch Pro rumor. Okay, let's get into that one, because I forgot to put that in, because I want to complain about that one. Okay, so
I was just going to say, like, I'm not excited about it, seeing as how much money I've put into my current Switch and my Joy-Cons and everything like that. Like, I've got, like, rare Joy-Cons and stuff. Mm-hmm. So are these Joy-Cons going to fit on the new Pro? Because it supposedly has a bigger screen.
So I don't think that'll matter too much. Well, that's a good point, Rowdy.
Yeah, like, what am I supposed to do with my Joy-Cons?
Don't use them.
I'm telling you, what I think they should do, and of course, but, I mean, they're obviously not going to listen to me.
This is just Rowdy.
But if they just had a dock that would up-res everything on the TV, I think that would be way cooler.
Call it the Super Switch. That's what I want. That's exactly what I want. I want a dock that takes my toaster and supercharges it.
Oh, and then another big complaint is that they will eventually release a game that doesn't run on the regular Switch, or it runs like absolute poop on the regular Switch. That happened with the 3DS when they made the new 3DS. When they released, what was it, Hyrule Warriors, IGN did two separate reviews for the game. One that ran on the new 3DS and one that ran on the regular 3DS. And that score was about 5 points, 5 whole points in the opposite direction.
Yeah, like I could see that.
They gave it like a 2.5. Like, it ran so bad on a regular 3DS.
I know we talked about, like, do we think the Switch is going to live through the next gen a couple episodes ago, and I think a lot of people are kind of expecting this to be that thing that's going to keep it going longer, but I'm not 100% sure it's there.
Yeah.
So what I've heard and what I've been reading is that, first of all, Samsung is developing the OLED screen that is going to be used on this new Switch. I have issues with that. One, have you used OLEDs have burn-in issues. There is no way to stop burn-in. The problem with attaching a screen that is going to most definitely have burn-in with a console that you are potentially going to keep 10 years means that eventually these games that you play that have bright white letters or anything, like, you know, let's say you play Apex Legends for 4,000 hours, okay, or Valheim when it comes out, you're going to get something burned into that screen eventually, whereas an LCD screen is not going to have that issue. Now, I understand the fact that OLEDs use up less battery because they can actually completely turn off a pixel, but I think that's a really bad move for people that are, you know, if you're expecting fidelity from a 720p screen, which is what's shown on there, it just seems like a bad idea to do OLED.
Yep.
What's that?
I was going to say, I had, what was it, the PlayStation Vita had an OLED screen. And don't get me wrong, it looked absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But near the end of the life cycle of it, man, that screen just, it wasn't looking as good. Like, I didn't play any game particularly too long to have the burn in, mm-hmm. but it was wearing out.
And, you know, I've owned multiple Samsung phones, and they tend to use what's called AMOLED. Mm-hmm. And within the 2 years of having my phone, which would probably honestly be used more than a gaming console, that phone looks rough. right? All of that boxes of galaxy notes that I have and all this other stuff. So that was my biggest concern. You know, it's a mobile device. You're going to turn the brightness up all the way, most likely. Why not just make a dock that goes into your TV that can run these games much better?
Yes.
And, I don't know. The Super Switch, the new Switch, I don't have high hopes for it, man.
God, I hope it's just a dock.
I hope it's just Super Switch dock. Now, if they do a... I don't know. I feel like they either need to just go back to the drawing board with the Switch and in like 3 years, because I think the Switch is not going to have any issues competing right now.
No.
Not at all. And, you know, there is that point, though, to where the system will die off. We saw it happen with the Wii, right? Where you eventually just have so much garbage collect on your console after a while, looking at you, Nintendo eShop, and, you know, that it just won't be worth it. So, all right. Well, hey, Rowdy, guess what it's time for?
What time is it?
Time for Cyberpunk Complaints Department. All right, guys, take a number. Wait, what's that? We ran out of numbers this week. Okay, well, so there's actually nothing new to report on Cyberpunk for the Cyberpunk Complaints Department this week. You know what that means?
That nothing's changed and it's still poop.
Yeah, it still doesn't work on the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, or the OG Xboxes. So, that's our complaint for this week's Cyberpunk Complaints Department. Yeah! Yeah, we'll pretend like we edited something. I hit the thing to do like a little drum beat, and it just messed up my notes hardcore.
Nice, man. Nice.
Not nice. Because we got to talk about Game Pass and what I thought was going to be the PlayStation Plus segment, but apparently they don't have anything to announce, so we're talking about Game Pass stuff. Because they won't stop throwing things at me. I don't have time to play all these games, Microsoft. first up, we'll talk about this one. Empire of Sin tweeted, "Don your fedora and get ready to hit the streets of Chicago. Boss, Empire of Sin will be available on Xbox Game Pass on March 18th. Get the scoop there." So we have Empire of Sin, which is another, I think it's a Paradox game.
Dude, they should have said, "Don your fedora, edgelords."
Yes, edgelords. so that's going to be pretty cool. It's coming to Game Pass. It's been riddled with bugs from what I understand. I was going to get it. My wife likes that kind of stuff with the gangsters and all that. She likes it.
May I say?
Yeah,
likes them gangster flicks.
A lot of them gangster movies. We're going to watch it and going to be playing video games with it. So we'll be able to see it on the Xbox very soon, and hopefully it'll be worth playing, because I'm glad I kind of didn't pay money after seeing the reviews. but from what I've heard from a couple people, it has improved. Now, next up, the big news on Game Pass is there are now 20 more Bethesda games on Game Pass because they have been acquired. They've become part of the giant amorphous blob that is Microsoft. So, on the list now, some of these were already on there, some of them were not. We now have Dishonored 1 and 2, Doom 1, 2, 3, 64, and Eternal. The numbering system doesn't make a lot of sense there, but if Doom 64 was obviously a Nintendo 64 game, and that was actually a pretty legit version of Doom.
No, it was the 64th Doom game, Travis.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, next up, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, still done. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Prey, Rage 2. I played a little bit of Rage 2, and it was there.
You shut up. Rage 2 was amazing.
Maybe I need to try it again. Now, I've been looking at Prey. Prey looks kind of cool, actually. Did you ever play that?
I played the original one on Xbox 60 years and years ago. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to make a sequel and then just ended up doing a reboot. And this is the rebooted version. I haven't played this one.
Okay. So Prey 2 is coming out in the future and it'll be on Game Pass.
They announced a Prey 2 win.
I'm pretty sure they did.
No.
Rowdy to the internet. So tell us, what else do you see on this list while I look up Prey 2?
So we got Elder Scrolls 3, Morrowind, Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion, Elder Scrolls 5, Skyrim. Got the Elder Scrolls Online, The Evil Within. Then it looks like we've got, let's see here, Wolfenstein, The New Order, Wolfenstein, The Old Blood, and Wolfenstein, Young Blood.
All right, so I have things. I've gone to the internet.
Okay.
There were cat memes. There was a really strange version of just some people in some weird, like, animal heads in some corner over there. And angry people on Facebook yelling at each other. But I have made it back from the internet. And I have found that according to an article from a website called, I don't know if I trust this, Tweaktown? Uh-oh. Tweaktown. Prey 2 could be developed by original developers. So Bethesda hired Human Head Studios to work on some stuff. And so it's rumored using ID Software's engine, but I don't trust a single thing on the internet.
True.
I barely trust voice acting in video games anymore. So we're going to say that that is not confirmed and it's not a real rumor and that I'm making things up. Is probably tweaktown.com.
So real quick, man, of these games, yeah, you need to play Rage 2. All the Wolfenstein games are amazing. What else? That's about it, man. Yeah, you should definitely give Rage 2 another chance. Because Rage 1, like, I was not a fan. I didn't really like it all that much. Rage 2, man, is basically just a reboot of the series, man. And it is, it feels a lot like Mad Max.
So
it's awesome.
Mad Max was really fun. I actually really enjoyed that game. Now, I will say, I have dogged on the new Xbox controller for not doing anything new. But there's a little hidden thing that hasn't been talked about that much that has been surprising. They actually have, I don't know if it's going to be in all these games. I don't know if it's just for like games that are optimized, but they've managed to cut down on the lag from the controller input to your system.
Nice. And
I recently played, I've been playing Gears 5 a lot lately, with friends, trying to get through the campaign so we can try Hive Busters, which is a new expansion on it. And it plays so much better on the Series X compared to my 1X. Like, I went back and forth and tried it with the new controller and then with an older controller on the 1X. And it's almost like night and day.
Nice.
I feel like I can actually play a twin stick game. It's weird. So, yeah. So, I'm hoping maybe I'll go back and enjoy things like Wolfenstein and Rage 2, because I normally don't care for those unless they have gyro, which I think is awesome. Well,
ugh.
Paired with the Bethesda Game Pass announcements, there are a bunch of games about to get boosted with FPS boost. So Fallout 4, Fallout 76, Skyrim, Prey, and Dishonored are all getting boosted frame rates to 60 frames, and I think some of them 120 frames per second. So that kicks in on Wednesday, which I think is the 16th of March, to where they're going to flip the switch for FPS boost, and you'll be able to play all those games at 60 frames per second.
17th of March.
Whatever. It's one of those dates. It might be the 16th. I don't know which day it was exactly. I thought it was the 16th, but pretty cool stuff coming from Game Pass, if you have it. Oh, all those things, by the way, are coming to PC, too. It came like 2 days later than the console version, but a lot of those Bethesda games or ID games are really very PC-centric fan bases. So if you have a PC, check out Game Pass. There's a bunch of cool stuff on it now.
It's just pronounced id.
Whatever. Is it id?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
you got to get that right, man. Fanboys are going to try and tear you apart.
What's new? We've told them enough. We're lamers. We're not real gamers. I don't care. All right, Rowdy. I think you need to start up with the Lamer of the Week. Rowdy is telling us this whole, we should have just, this feels like the whole thing is a conspiracy. I don't believe in AI voices. You're telling me Harvest Moon is a lie.
Yeah, man, Harvest Moon is a lie. Let me tell you about this. Harvest Moon is a great series of farming simulator games. Started in, I want to say, 1996 on the Super Nintendo. I didn't come around to it till Harvest Moon 64, obviously, on the Nintendo 64.
By the way, Harvest Moon 64 was one of the best games ever.
Right?
Just saying. That got me through junior high.
They've released a lot of Harvest Moon games throughout the years. So I haven't played them all, but the ones that I have played, all really good games. So I started noticing that there were these games called Story of Seasons that looked a lot like Harvest Moon. So I looked into it. And it turns out that the Story of Seasons games are actually a continuation of the old Harvest Moon games, whereas any game labeled Harvest Moon now is actually part of a new series that is not a continuation of Harvest Moon. So I know that sounds very confusing. So let's see here. Let me try and read something I found here about the Harvest Moon series.
I feel like I need a tinfoil hat for this.
So, the original company, Natsume, let me make sure that I got that right.
Rowdy's going to tell us about this conspiracy right now. We're going to hear it all live on the Labor Gamers podcast.
Sorry.
What I can find, let's see, the Story of Seasons video game series was originally produced by Victor Interactive Software, acquired by Marvelous Entertainment in 2002, with Natsume handling the English translation and distribution in North America. The series debuted in Japan on August 9th, 1996, as Bakujo Monogatari, The Farm Story, which later was released in North America and PAL regions as Harvest Moon. Story of Seasons is a series of farm simulation / role-playing games where the main objective is to maintain a farm over a period of time, tending to the crops and livestock throughout the seasons, while befriending the nearby townsfolk and getting married in some games. Story of Seasons titles have been released on numerous different video game consoles and handheld consoles. They could have worded that different. Several titles have been re-released on multiple platforms as special editions, which included an updated gameplay. Oh my God. 14 spin-off titles have been released featuring related elements. One of these titles, Ruin Factory, A Fantasy Harvest Moon, was released to mark the 10th anniversary of the Story of Seasons series. One reason Story of Seasons has remained so popular is because the unchanged core system of the games. According to Yoshihiro Wada, Story of Seasons lead designer, it has been the development team's response to the audience request, which has allowed the series to maintain its popularity. Due to Natsume keeping the rights to the Harvest Moon name, when Marvelous decided to have their own American division, Exceed Games, take over the North American distribution, the newer titles in the series have been renamed to Story of Seasons, while Natsume took the opportunity to start their own Harvest Moon series of similar games, starting with Harvest Moon: The Lost Valley. This has reportedly caused some degree of confusion among players and fans of the series. So, like I explained just a second ago. So what you're saying is
there's been a double cross and a flim-flam and a switch and a swap.
Oh, there's a lot of flim-flamming.
Oh, God.
A whole lot of flim-flamming.
I needed that explained to me in Southeast Texan.
So, Story of Seasons has a new game coming out at the end of the month. Story of Seasons, Pioneers of Olive Town. Comes out on March 23rd, 2021. and I'm actually pretty interested in this game. I'm probably not going to pick it up right off the bat because I'm still playing other games on Switch. But it actually looks really good. It's a continuation of the old style games. Well, I signed on to the eShop, you know, that turd of a of an online gaming store that we talked about last podcast.
Well, by the way, guys, if you're new to the podcast, Rowdy's rating system doesn't travel far from the toilet.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay. But so I signed in, and apparently on March 2nd, there was a game released called Harvest Moon One World. So I open it up, and I look at some of the pictures on here and watch the video for it, and it looks bad, man. I mean, it has a lot of the elements of the story of Seasons games, but it's not the same art style that I'm used to. It just doesn't look good. And this isn't the first Harvest Moon game released since the acquisition, takeover, whatever you want to call it. So then I decided to, you know, look up some reviews. So I watched IGN's video review for it. IGN gave it a 5.0, which on Metacritic comes out to a 50. But the review was very, very critical, talking about how it doesn't teach you anything and that most of the quests that they did in the game were by accident because they would find the quest, they wouldn't be told where to go or how to do it, and then, you know, several in-game months would happen and they just out of nowhere beat the quest. And like, all right, well, glad I did that. A lot of the characters in the game are not even named. It's just like Happy Villager. The only people named in the game, I think, are the ones that you can get married to. It just looks bad, man.
Sounds like a Watch Dogs Legion character.
Oh, well, it's just kind of funny that they released on March 2nd, whereas a Story of Seasons game is coming out March, what did I say? 23rd. March 23rd. But, so, yeah, let's head over to old Metacritic. We haven't done that in a while.
Oh, is it time for review bombs?
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, man, so, we haven't had a good review bomb in a while.
So, Metacritic has given it a score of 51. So, depending on what scale you use, that's 51 out of 100.
Is that users or is that like paid journalists?
That's the critic score.
Okay.
Like the journalist score.
Oh, the fancy one.
So they have, let's see, nine journalists who have reported their scores. So we've got 5 mixed reviews, 3 negatives, and no positives.
Nice. So are there any gems from this steaming pile of reviews, or is it the user reviews that are the good ones?
So the user reviews are always the ones that are amazing, in my opinion. So we're going to head over to the user reviews.
How heavily edited are these reviews going to be, Rowdy?
Look, let's just put it this way. There are 37 user scores on here. So there was 9 critic scores, 5 of them mixed, 3 of them negative. So on the user score, we'll start from the bottom. We've got 17 negatives. We have 3 mixed and 17 positives.
Nice.
I call bull on that. So let's scroll down here.
I enjoyed this game so much. It was delightful to play this mobile style Harvest Moon game. Is that pretty much
how
they go?
Let's see here. 10 out of 10. This game is getting too much unfair hate. People need to give it more of a chance before hating it, says Marcus1939, who has only reviewed oh my God, come on, you're supposed to be the fastest internet ever. All right, they have reviewed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games, all of them given perfect 10s. So it looks like...
they're a bot. They're paid to go around and give bad games good reviews.
Basically.
Yeah.
So I say 6 games. It's actually 4 games. 2 of these games, or 4 of these games, are actually 2 titles just on different consoles.
Yeah. Didn't I mention a minute ago I don't trust anything from the internet? Rowdy right. gives us the evidence.
Let's see here. Bumpy Peel states... one of the best games I've played on Switch, probably ever. Really have been looking forward to its release, and I haven't been disappointed. Highly recommend it for anyone to play. Oh, by the way, that was all one sentence with no punctuation.
OMG.
Bumpy Peel gave that a 10 out of 10, and they have reviewed 2 games ever. One of them, Harvest Moon One World, a 10 out of 10. And the other, Yakuza Like a Dragon, gave it a 9 out of 10.
I mean, Yakuza's decent, at least.
Let's see.
That could
see.
Be a real person.
Let me find a short 0.
Oh, the 0s are what I live for, Rowdy. The 0s are the
best. A 0, another feeble addition to a once-beloved series. If you must buy this glorified mobile game, at least wait for it to go on sale.
Was that me? Did I write that? That sounds like something I would have written.
Another 0 out of 10. Why even try at this point? Just taking advantage of nostalgia. Absolutely sorry excuse for a game. Doesn't even look appealingly aesthetically. Oh my God. I couldn't read that because it was worded so awful. Empty world, lazy textures, NPCs with no names, and even more emptiness everywhere. Sadly, this game is a mess. This game actually made me sad the more I played it.
Nice.
I mean, you could see where this is going.
Yeah. It's not a good game, folks. It's not a good series. I have played one of them on the Switch. Like, I got it for my wife, and... because she was really big into Stardew Valley and Graveyard Keeper, like any farming life sim thing kind of game like that. She would play these games, and it was almost scary how much she liked Stardew Valley. She played for literally like 23 hours straight, and I had to take the Switch away from her. But
nice.
Yeah, because she would bring it everywhere with her. so... I got her this game. I think I even got a physical copy at the store, and it didn't stay. It was horrendous. She's like, I think, questioning our marriage. Don't give your wife. This is good advice for the husbands out there. Don't give your wife the gift of Harvest Moon. It's almost like giving her a vacuum for her birthday.
Oh.
Maybe a little more insulting. Yeah.
So instead of getting Harvest Moon, I would suggest people do their research and check out Story of Seasons, Pioneers of Olive Town, which is going to be the next one to come out. Or get the last one that came out before it, Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town, which is actually a remake of Harvest Moon, Friends of Mineral Town, which was a great game to begin with. So check out the Story of Seasons, and don't check out Harvest Moon, our lamer of the week.
This is
not a paid advertisement.
All right, guys. So we don't do this very often. We normally determine lamer of the week that week, or literally sometimes minutes before we plan the show, or sometimes when it happens. But...
next episode, on the next episode of the Lamer Gamers Podcast, will Todd Howard be the next Lamer of the Week? According to Bethesda, in the Bethesda Joins Xbox Roundtable, Todd Howard himself claimed that Microsoft supposedly helped fix the problems with Fallout 74. 76, I can't even speak. Now, here is a dramatic reenactment of this event.
Now with this game launch, the litany of issues we had, we let a lot of people down. There was very little we didn't screw up, honestly. One of the people I called was Phil. And I said, hey, Phil, you know there are so many things we're dealing with. What advice do you have? And he put me in touch with people at Xbox who were able to look at all the systems in our game and determine that was and what was and wasn't important. And then he compared that to the games that made it in the long haul. That kind of advice really, really helped us. Now seeing 76 being one of the most played games on Xbox, we're just incredibly fortunate to be here with $7.65 million in our $1 billion in our pockets. So,
Lamer Travis will create a new player to crawl out of Vault 76 after the Xbox Series X FPS boost update and put this statement to the test. Will Lamer Travis enjoy himself, or will Todd Howard become the next Lamer of the Week for this potentially false claim? Tune in next week for a special edition of Lamer of the Week to find out.
Yo, you guys don't want to miss this one.
It's gonna be a good time. I apologize if Todd Howard listens to this podcast. Nobody tell him that I made his voice like that, because I don't know what he sounds like personally, but it seemed appropriate.
It's not far off from that.
Okay. All right, guys. Next up, after the break, we're going to have Lamer Gamers Playing Games.
Lamer Gamers Playing Games is brought to you by Ubisoft's voice acting department. Here's a message from the team. At Ubisoft, we take pride in bringing you fantastical experiences that really give our players a sense of being there. We spent hours and hours meticulously poring over the scripts, hiring the best voice actors, and really just trying to go for authentic voice acting. Recently, we brought you along for the ride in Montana in Far Cry 5, and on an epic journey from Norway to England in the 9th century, all with fantastic authenticity to the dialects and languages used. But now, I believe we have reached the peak with our most inclusive, most breathtaking voice acting and script yet. Just take a listen.
I find your face generally appealing. Is that good for you?
Ooh, if that's how you treat a one-liner, I shudder to think of what you do with two. Goodbye.
Having a bad day, are we? Have a drink. That helps.
Oh, I'm in a great mood, actually. It's just that I'm wasting my scant leisure time fending off the advances of a haggard swamp creature.
Here's your new gear.
This is a big decision. Once I join DedSec, I can't have a normal life anymore.
Normal, fam? Feds have just said they can shoot us in the streets.
I know things are bad, and I want to do something to help. I just don't know if I can walk away from my life.
Flip that script, cuz. You ain't walking away. You're fighting to protect what you care about.
It's astonishingly visceral. It's like nothing we've ever produced before. It's so mind-numbingly real that your brain can't seem to take it and comprehend how good it is. It's like God himself scratched his nails on all the chalkboards in the world, or 1,000 angry cats thrown in a bathtub at once. You just can't get that kind of raw emotion from voice acting from other places. This is Ubisoft.
Thanks for listening, bruv. Now we're going to get back to the rest of the Lamer Gamers who are just twank.
All right, guys, hopefully y'all enjoyed that announcement from the glorious team at Ubisoft's voice acting department, and hopefully we didn't anger too many people with that commercial. Anyway, so let's go ahead. This is the Lamer Gamers Playing Games segment, and we have both officially played Watch Dogs Legion. This is... As Rowdy says, Rowdy, what? How do you explain Watch Dogs Legion?
Oi, Governor, Watch Dogs Legion is dwank, bruv.
So I got the game for 20-ish bucks. It's cheap. It was pre-owned, and GameStop was just trying to get me to go into their store, and I picked up the game because I mean, it can't be that bad, can it? Can it? Okay, so Rowdy, I texted Rowdy this. I showed him a picture of the box, and he's like, well, you'll have fun for a few hours. And he's right. So, you know, the first couple hours were kind of fun. And actually, the first, when you start the game, it actually has this pretty legit, like, scene, these scenes where you go in and do stuff. The voice acting sounds good. The dialogue is decent. And then your character dies.
It all falls apart.
And apparently everyone loses their soul and their voice acting skills, because after you get your just random person off the street, like you pick out of a list of people, they all sound horrendous. Rowdy has told me, and we talked about this in a previous episode, that the voice acting was bad. I didn't realize it was that bad, Rowdy.
Yeah, dude.
I don't think you properly explained to me how abysmal the voice acting is in this game.
Look, man, I tried, but I mean, even I could be only so negative.
So you should have just like talked to me for a week in fake English accents with just the what they say in this game. So that's really my main complaint is, well, first of all, the voice acting's bad. Second, the play segments that I've gone through are pretty much the same. It's almost like they've been rubber stamped across the town. It's pretty much you go in, you steal something, you blow up something, you read something, and then you get away. The AI for the bad guys is
horrendous.
Decent. Oh, it's D. Yeah, you're right. It's what I'm trying to talk this game up. Okay, so let's put it this way. I drove around in a double-decker bus that I stole, in a double-decker bus full of people, destroying everything for miles. I got to the point to where I was collecting double-decker buses and blocking off the road. Okay? Nothing was happening to me. I was taking over cars and just making big piles of mayhem.
Yep.
Nothing was happening to me.
Whereas sometimes you'll take a car and then, like, barely bump one of the bollards on the side of the road, and the next thing you know, cops everywhere.
No, you know what does it? You know what makes them come up to you every single time immediately?
What's that?
Take out your non-lethal stun gun.
Oh my God.
And aim it anywhere. They are immediately on you.
Dude, and you see how easy it is to pull out your weapon.
Oh yeah, I made that mistake.
Dude,
and
I
pull out your weapon and put on your mask, and everybody knows who you are and how to kill you.
Dude, I accidentally pulled out my weapon numerous times on that game. But, you know, with the voice acting, I was trying to think of a way I could describe it. But so it's basically just a mishmash of different responses that they have to put together. So thousands upon thousands of responses that they recorded, because you could play as like anybody. So like one of your characters is a little old lady, and then you recruit, let's say, like a big buff construction worker, and the little old lady's like, oh, hello, love. Oh my God, what's the name of the group
Helen.
In Watch Dogs?
Oh, I don't even remember anymore. Is that bad?
Dedsec.
Oh, Dedsec. Okay.
Hello, love. Nice of you to join DedSec. And then this giant construction worker is like, hell yeah, bruv, let's do this. And it's like, why would you ever talk to an old lady like that? Why?
It's almost like, it reminds me of a YouTube chat on like a live stream, is how the voices are. They're like, everybody's just yelling something out there and it kind of makes sense with what's going on, but some things are so discordant that they make no sense.
Yeah.
And what kills me is the fact that, so I looked this up because I was, after my mind was officially boggled, with the AI stuff, with what we talked about at the beginning of this with Obsidian, where they use AI voice acting software. I was thinking, you know, some of the voices just sound really whack. God, I'm starting to sound like the character from this freaking game. I can't talk like this, bruv. did it again. Okay, so it just sounded off to me. So I looked it up, and they do modulate the voices. So they have a voice actor that records, you know, like, Rowdy, I think you said, random British white guy that is normal versus random British guy that is wanting to sound like an Eminem, like, a rapper. I don't know. But so they do that, and then they take that and change the pitch and all these other things to make it sound like it's a whole bunch of different people. So if you have like two, let's say, software engineers, because I made that mistake and picked a video game programmer and picked the most awfully annoying character in the game whose hair is in a man bun that doesn't even stop clipping through his jacket. But if you have him talking to another software engineer that looks different and maybe is different height or something, they're using the same voice actor, but then they've kind of just slid a dial over to make it sound like one's got a deeper voice or something.
Ugh.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much.
Dude, that really is like one of the major issues I had with that game. Like, it was fun, and I could have played it to the end, but that dialogue, it was awful, man. It wasn't so personable.
That's a big part of it. So you start out the game, and it is very personable, right? There's a story, and you're invested in the characters, and then they just freaking murder most of them. I would say spoiler alert, but guys, don't play this game. And also, this happens in the first, like, 30 minutes. Yeah. It sets up the whole story. But you go through that, and like, even my wife was watching, is like, oh, this is actually pretty good. Rowdy's crazy. She didn't say that, but
yeah.
Then it happened though. Like a couple hours in, after I just gave up on playing the game, going from one mission to the next one, just, you know, it wouldn't be so bad, even if the gameplay is a little samey, if the in-between and the interactions with the characters felt like I was immersed in the world. But the second that you throw these characters that look like they're just, or sound like they're just talking to imaginary people, it doesn't work.
Exactly.
And the game kind of fell apart for me. It looks great. It actually looks really nice. It's a very pretty game. The ray tracing is cool on it. I like the spider robot.
Dude, yeah.
That's my friend. I want one.
It looks great. It plays well. We're just not there yet.
No. And I never played Watch Dogs 1 and 2. I might go back and play Watch Dogs 2 because they're doing the frame boost on it just to see if it's worth playing.
I played Watch Dogs 1, and it was pretty good, man.
Yeah. All right, Rowdy, so that's it for the wombo combo of what we've both played together, or played separately, but felt like it was together. we both suffered. Tell me what you've been playing lately.
All right, so again, Animal Crossing. I can't put it down. I'm gonna keep playing it, dude. We're coming up on the 1 year anniversary, and there are so many things from past games that they have not added in yet. Oh my gosh. I'm hoping they surprise us at the 1 year anniversary and talk about all kind of new stuff they're going to add to it. But right now they have the Mario stuff added to the game.
Oh, yeah.
To where you could get a lot of different Mario type furniture or things that you could add around town. Like, I've got a bunch of coins added to my town where you'll run through them and you'll pick them up, or coin blocks up in the air as you run underneath them, and it's like you jumped and hit them, and it makes that noise. There's like turtle shells that I put all over the place, and mushrooms, and I got all of the costumes, man. Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, and even Wario, but there's no Waluigi.
Wah.
Wah. But yeah, man. So Animal Crossing, I'm always gonna play it. It's so good, man.
I need to play it again. I really do.
You need to pick it back up. We need to do a stream again.
Yeah. Hey, I'm off this week. Maybe. Summer's just gonna be honest with you guys. My weeks are mentally draining. I don't like people whenever I'm brain dead. not that I really don't like y'all, but it's like a weird stream of consciousness that just comes out of my head that makes absolutely no sense. It's kind of funny, but it would probably get me in trouble. Rowdy's seen it or heard it.
He ends up having whack poo brain.
Yeah, it's bad. And so anything like streaming related like that's going to be mostly summers for us. We'll have to call the summer of lame.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. It's the summer of lame. All right, Rowdy, tell us what else you've been playing.
All right, man. So really the only other thing I've been playing is Bravely Default 2. Just before booting up my computer to start working on this podcast, I hit the 30-hour mark. And in Bravely Default 2, you have to collect the 4 crystals. We'll just leave it at that. And in 30
hours...
Sounds
like some generic thing they throw into an RPG game, yeah?
Well, I mean, it is a Square Enix RPG.
It is Squeenix.
But I'm 30 hours in and have 2 of the crystals. So, yeah, this is a 60-plus hour nice. RPG, man. Now, it is in a chibi art style, and I know you hate the chibi art style.
If it's done well, I actually like Bravely Default's art.
Well, but what's cool is, yeah, all the characters are kind of chibi, but like the backgrounds are all hand drawn.
I actually like their style. I like the Octopath Traveler style, which is kind of similar in some ways.
Another Squeenix game.
Yeah, but what they did with Final Fantasy 15 is wrong.
You shut your face. It was a great game.
Not the Final Fantasy 15 game itself.
Nope, it's amazing.
The chibi version.
Oh, got you.
Yeah, you forgot about it, didn't you?
Yeah. I actually have that on Switch.
Because that was about the only way they could get it to run, I guess.
Dude, there's no way they could run Final Fantasy 15 on Switch. Yeah. But, so Bravely Default 2, man, like I said, 30 hours into it, it's very engaging game. It can get very complicated with the class system, and the combat system is different than a lot of other RPG games. You have the Brave system and the Default system, hence Bravely Default. Whereas, when you're playing, so you have your turn, and if you decide to Brave, then you get an extra turn, but the next time it comes to your turn, you get skipped. And you can do up to 4 turns. So you'll get skipped that many times if you brave it. Now, you could default to where you'll basically go into a blocking stance, and that is your turn. But when it comes back to you, you can use an extra turn, or you can brave and not have any penalties next turn because you've added one up. And so it keeps track. I know that sounds a little complicated, but it keeps track on the screen of how many turns that you can have. It's pretty cool, man. I really, really dig this game. And if you are into, 60 plus hour turn-based RPGs with a ridiculous class system, you should check this out. If you were a fan of Bravely Default or Bravely Second, you should check it out.
Yeah, I think it's one of those games that works really well on Switch, too. This is a game you can put in your pocket and bring with you.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So. And that's basically it, man. I've downloaded some stuff on PlayStation that I haven't played yet. I want to play the Outriders demo, but I just haven't gotten to it yet. I've been bravely defaulting.
So I actually did play the Outriders demo for a little bit. I maybe played it for an hour.
And
it's actually kind of fun. Like nice. The voice acting's done well in it. The beginning is really kind of cool. The art style is nice. The faces are a little off at times, but I don't know if it's only during certain scenes. It is a game that is in beta. And you can do the demo for free. You can play it as long as you want, but there's like a cap on how far you progress your characters, basically. And you can pay for the full game right now. But it kind of reminds me if Gears of War and Paladins had a baby.
Paladins was actually pretty fun, man.
Paladins was cool. Now, the reason why I say that is because it has that kind of cover system that you would expect in Gears, right? Mm-hmm. Where you run, you like hold A, and you run up against something and hide. But it also has powers in it. And depending on your character type, you can get different powers. Right now, I'm trying a Technomancer style, and I have buffs based on, you know, if I hit an enemy long range or with one of my gadgets that I shoot out, I get healed. There are other classes that get healed based on being up close and doing their powers. So it's a game that's very aggression focused. It's very fast paced at times. Now, I have not done any gameplay with somebody else, so I've just kind of fought mindless bad guys.
So it's kind of like an action RPG?
Yeah, a little bit. It okay. reminds me a little bit of the... Some of the powers remind me of Andromeda.
Okay.
So I forgot what Andromeda was. Mass Effect.
So,
because you're like a deal... You're reconfiguring the whatever excuse to make fancy powers. So that was kind of cool. Tried that out for a minute. Haven't put a whole lot of time. I'll probably talk more about it next time. Another game is, y'all have heard my love-hate relationship with Yakuza Like a Dragon, which I'm calling Yakuza Like a Perpetually Distracted ADD Riddled Dragon, that now wants 3 million yen and then attacks me with difficulty spikes. That's where I'm at currently. I have given the game 3 million yen as it asked. I took pictures of statues to get that, which is apparently the easiest way to do it. But okay. Yeah, I was just trying to grind, like fighting and getting 3 million yen, and then I kept losing money somehow. I ended up getting into a cave or in a sewer and fought a giant Roomba, and it killed me. And it took my money whenever I started back because I didn't want to do it all over again. Then ended up with like 600,000 yen less. It's Ooh. Been a weird ride, Rowdy. But I finally did it. I moved on to the next chapter, and there's two enemies that are just wrecking me. Like the difficulty spike.
Are their names Ritalin and Adderall?
Possibly. It's been a game, guys. So I'm going to get this game beaten because there's so many good parts of it, but it's such a weird journey. So that's what I've been trying to get into. Next up, Dirt 5. I played it when it hit Game Pass. It is fun for a bit. If you like an arcade circuit racing game, I would suggest it. There's a really cool level builder that's into it. I played some of the levels on there that are really kind of wacky. Like you literally ride up a wall and spin around the whole time on the wall as you're driving around it. You spin around, bruv. But I think I'm preferring Forza. And I feel like one of those weird elitists that I kept seeing on the Xbox Reddit. Yeah.
Yeah, I know I don't have an Xbox anymore, man, but Forza is still the racing game to me.
You know, Horizon I think it's the Horizon ones that I like. I don't like doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah. Right?
So the fact that you can go from one point to the other, I like that idea. You can go off road. You can kind of, there's a lot of variety in Forza, and honestly, it's the better looking game out of the two. All right. And then Gears 5 with friends. Gears 5 is good. I can't believe I'm in a place in my life where I can say that I like Gears of War. The old school Nintendo nerd in me is just dying. Not actually dying. I love Nintendo, but it would be angry with me.
So you know what's fun in Gears 5 is actually playing as the robot.
Yes. So I've been playing with former lamers that have been on our cast. Not former. They're just, we adopt them in occasionally. Gunslinger and Mom. And Mom is the official robot.
Dude, the people that I played it with, like, we were always fighting over who was going to be the robot.
The robot's good stuff, man. So, and I will say, if you have an Xbox Series S or X, the controller makes it go a little bit nicer. It's really weird how they've programmed in a way to cut out some of that lag between them. So that's really all I got for the games I've been playing lately. So nice. Is it time to move on?
It is time to move on.
Are you ready to be acquired, Rowdy?
I don't know, man. This sounds a little scary.
All right, guys. So during this break, you're going to hear a trailer for The Acquisition, which is officially sponsoring the bonus point segment.
Wait, no, I take it back. I do want to be acquired for $7.5 billion.
I could be a... Yes, let's get acquired.
Bonus points brought to you by the new amorphous blob monster horror movie, The Acquisition. Now let's take a listen to the trailer now.
In a world where giant mega corporations also run gaming companies, sometimes things are not always as they seem.
Yes, thanks for coming to my TED Talk. We're here to talk about corporate metamorphosis. We've developed a theory that a company can get too big. You've heard of too big to fail, but what about too big to not turn into a giant amorphous blob monster that eats and acquires all the other companies?
You think I'm crazy? Well, this is what the science tells us. You've been warned!
They should have listened.
There are parts of a giant corporate blob monster named Microsoft that is going around acquiring various companies. At first, this started slow with companies like Rare and Double Fine, but it appears that since then, since they acquired, it seems Mojang Studios, the amorphous blob monster, has doubled in size. We're not sure who it will acquire next, but rumors are pointing to Obsidian, Sega, and Bethesda ZeniMax.
Don't worry, Sega and Obsidian. We're safe in here from Microsoft. I've developed this vault for just this kind of occasion. In fact, it's my 76th rendition. We're totally safe.
Microsoft, I hope you're right.
Bethesda was not right.
We have to get out of the vault! Say that I'm stuck!
I've got you, Bethesda! Just get out! Get out of the vault, man!
No! Go without me! Get out while you can! Oh, they have Obsidian! No! I'm so scared. I think it's in here with me now.
Lamer Gamers presents The Acquisition. Listen to the episode on your favorite podcasting provider.
Before we get started giving out some bonus points, if you like what we're doing, drop by on our Twitter at LamerGamersCast and give us a follow. That way you can keep up with us lamers because there's always something going on. Like, you know, a hurricane, tropical storm, another hurricane, snakes crawling in Travis's dishwasher, random petrochemical plants exploding next to my house, and yeah. Join in all the fun and replying to our bonus points topics we post up on our Twitter. Oh, and let's not forget freak ice storms now.
Yeah, the winter apocalypse is another thing we forget. I need to add that to the list of things that have happened since this podcast. Unfortunately, yeah. The Lamer Gamers podcast has become the podcast of the end times.
Basically.
Yeah, I think that's what's happened. I apologize, guys. We did not mean to break the... fifth, sixth seal. I don't know what it is technically, but we've done something wrong. All right. So speaking of doing something wrong, I guess to some people, we haven't, but it seems that Bethesda has been acquired by the giant amorphous monster corporate blob that is Microsoft. So they recently, I'm going to read this from videogameschronicle.com. They announced, "It is an honor to welcome the 8 incredibly talented development studios, Bethesda Gameworks, id Software," Rowdy told me it's not ID, that's id, "Zenimax Online Studios, Arcane, Machine Games, Tango Gameworks, Alpha Dog, and Roundhouse Studios." I feel like I'm doing like a telling somebody a secret code whenever I read that. But, "and their passionate global communities to the Xbox family," head of Xbox Phil Spencer said. "Now that everything is official," you know, because it cleared the EU, "we can begin working together to deliver more great games to everyone." Now, this has been somewhat of a point of contention because there has been the question of exclusivity. And they say that Bethesda would continue making games the way it always had. But they kind of said this, too, which concerned people. "Gamers should know that Xbox consoles, PC, and Game Pass will be the best place to experience new Bethesda games, including some new titles in the future that will be exclusive to Xbox and PC players. As we shared previously, it's vitally important that Bethesda continues making games the way it always has. We look forward to empowering Bethesda's creative teams to reach even more players around the world, helping make future Bethesda titles the biggest and most popular games in their history." Apparently, they share similar visions and all this other stuff. But the question is, are you going to be able to play the next Skyrim on PlayStation 5, right? So
Elder Scrolls.
Whatever. Next Skyrim is what I'm saying. It's amazing how many people don't know that it's actually Elder Scrolls 2. But, Elder Scrolls 6, right? Not 2. 2, what, T-O-O. But anyway, I digress. Now, they have said that they are still going to release some things on the PlayStation 5 if those deals have basically been already made. So they're going to release Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo. They're going to still honor that, but afterwards, people have been, you know, like, oh, well, what about Indiana Jones, Starfield, Elder Scrolls? Oh, it's 5. I thought it was 6. And nope. They said
Elder Scrolls 5 was Skyrim.
Oh, well, then they wrote this wrong. I copied and pasted that. Okay. So they asked that, and there was a tweet that Aaron Greenberg shared that says, they were asking, what's going to happen with the exclusives? And they just said that pretty much it's going to be for Game Pass systems. So that leads us to the official bonus points question. Should Microsoft make Bethesda ZeniMax games exclusive? And I'm going to throw it over to our resident Sony gaming aficionado and overall binder wrapped around a modem enthusiast, Rowdy 5000, for this. What are your thoughts on this being, an owner of a potentially affected Bethesda drought system?
Man, you better not be making fun of my, 4K HD Trapper Keeper that I have on my desk.
It's UHD, Rowdy. It's the new HD.
My bad.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Bethesda games. Basically, everything that falls under their umbrella is amazing, in my opinion. The first Bethesda game I played was Fallout 3. And this was long after people had been playing Morrowind and things like that. So I played Fallout 3 and was hooked. So I went back and I played Oblivion, Elder Scrolls 4. I was hooked on all of it. Next thing you know, I'm at midnight releases for Skyrim. I was, pre-ordering like the big limited edition bundles of New Vegas and Fallout 4. I actually have a Pip-Boy that you could put your cell phone in and it, you could hook it up to your Fallout 4 and use that Pip-Boy for in-game stuff to happen. I'm a big Bethesda fan. I'm also a huge Sony fan. And even though that is very conflicting, I personally think that if I spent $7.5 billion on a company, I would only release it on my console.
I could see that.
You know, and I mean, it only makes sense. Now, again, like I said, very conflicted by this, but I understand it. It would suck, but I mean, there's ways I could play it. I could either play it on PC, or maybe I'll eventually buy an Xbox Series X. We'll just have to see.
All right, so I completely agree. So, you know, from a business perspective, it makes sense. And in some ways, and this is probably going to be the more controversial one, I think it actually makes sense for gamers. Because, one, it's going to increase competition between the big ones, the big companies, right? Microsoft has been one of those consoles where people are like, well, it doesn't have any games. Well, they do, and then they've just been kind of acquiring games. But you've seen that they've done really well with Rare. Some of their newer stuff that they've been doing with their older acquisitions, where they finally figured out, oh, maybe we shouldn't try to, you know, use them as puppets and tell them exactly what to do. Maybe we should let them actually make games. Seems to be working.
Wait. They took Battletoads from Rare and gave it to somebody else.
Okay, we're not going to talk about that.
And then
we're not discussing that. Yeah, there are bad decisions.
And then they wouldn't let him make a new Banjo-Kazooie?
I saw somebody post on Reddit, what would happen if they had Banjo-Kazooie on the id engine?
Oh. only if it was Banjo-Kazooie, but it was like a Doom game.
Banjo-Kazooie Strikes Back.
Yeah,
so,
dude.
Yeah, there are definitely holes in my argument, as Rowdy has poked his finger in and wiggled it around and seen if it hurts. But, so, you know, that's another part of this, though, that I think is going to be interesting coming in the future is engines. They have acquired multiple engines in this agreement. They have the engine they're making the Elder Scrolls and Fallout games. They have id Software's engine and a couple of others that are in this. So I'm curious if we're also going to see part of the let's get back our $7.5 billion. Is it not only going to try to sell consoles, but is it a potential way to sell engines like they do with Unreal Engine to multiple people? For PC gaming and other things. Curious if that's what they'll end up doing. Another thing is that Game Pass is definitely the biggest part of this, and they are very clearly saying it. They want to Trojan horse Game Pass into your toaster and into your modem binder. They want to make people want Game Pass, and they want you to bug Sony and Nintendo to put it on their system. That's part of the play with this. And Bethesda has games that are system sellers. Like, there's no way around it. So how that game passes on those other systems, though, is going to be interesting. Because you've noticed they pushed xCloud quite a bit, right? Well, you could put xCloud on Switch. It'd probably be terrible, but it would be there.
Ugh.
You know? Yeah, now Rowdy's making faces at me. I wouldn't want to play it. Yeah. But that's one way that they still have Game Pass, and they have advertisements for their consoles, and will probably be like, well, you know, you could just buy one of these boxes over here. You know, one of these Chad boxes. Not your little binder you have over there. Or your toaster. Get a Chad box. Play the games the way they're supposed to be. That's where I think they're going to go with this in the future. In
Dude.
Some weird way.
The biggest system seller ever would be, like seriously, when Elder Scrolls 6 actually does come out, all they have to do is literally say, Elder Scrolls 6, only playable on consoles with Game Pass. If you buy whatever Xbox it is at the time that comes out, because they stated that they only started working on pre-production for Elder Scrolls 6. If you buy said Xbox right here, you'll get X amount of Game Pass for free, which includes Elder Scrolls 6. And boom, that thing is sold out worldwide.
Yep. So I think that's where it gets interesting. And up next, because I don't want to go too far into this, because I feel like I'm going to have a lot of comments. We have a lot of people that commented on this and responded on Twitter. We also had our friend from More Than a Podcast give us a clip that we will play right now.
Hey, Lamer Gamer crew. This is your friendly neighborhood host, James, from the show More Than a Podcast, which you can catch every Saturday at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on any one of your favorite streaming services. But that is not why I'm here. Why I am here is so that I can answer the bonus points question, which is, should Microsoft make Bethesda Zenimax games exclusive? Now, that's a double-edged, or you can say a loaded question, because the truth of the matter is that why they acquired Bethesda was for, you know, the prospect of what they will bring in exclusivity. But I don't believe that that is something that they should move forward with when you think of titles or franchises like The Elder Scrolls or Fallout or even Doom. You know, these are big intellectual properties that everybody knows. And in knowing that, you know, it really doesn't make the deciding factor of whether you are going to pick up one console or the other. But you would just benefit from having those titles outreached in all of their forms that they can. So on every single console, every single service, anywhere that they can be, you want to put games like that out. You don't want to pigeonhole games of that magnitude. Now, with that being said, moving forward, I mean, you have games like, you know, the announced Starfield, you know, Doom is going to keep moving forward. Prey may come out again. You know, they have the Evil Within franchise. They have Rage. They have Wolfenstein. They have a wealth of different titles that they could keep exclusive to themselves. But I think that the way that they can play it, and this will be smart business to me, is just allow people to, or allow this company to put out the games in all of the ways that they can, but then just keep exclusivity to the additional content. It's kind of like how, you know, Sony was doing a lot of their deals, and there was a lot of play this here only on, like with Marvel's Avengers, you can only play as Spider-Man on the PlayStation. You know, but they could do some kind of deal like that. I just wouldn't think that it would be good business to take some of their bigger franchises and keep those away from gamers who deserve to play. So this is your host again, James, from More Than a Podcast, over here answering the Lamer Gamers bonus points question. Back to you guys.
You know what, James? I agree with you. We should put the Wii music on the Xbox Game Store for all the Bethesda exclusives.
Rowdy, did you even listen to that?
I'm sorry. That was the one that he sent in last week.
No. Okay. Yes, that was a fantastic one last week. But this week, James, Mr. More Than a Podcast, do not tell Microsoft what you just said. Even me, as a person that likes the Game Pass, that is scary thinking. That's a really good business move. That is cutthroat.
Very cutthroat.
Oh, man. So the concept of keeping the extras, or even, you know, potentially updates and things like that, giving the PlayStation owners or Nintendo owners a taste of what the main game is, but keeping everything else like they did with just simply Spider-Man with Avengers is just... That's dirty. That's just cutthroat. I that is something I don't think we've seen yet in the Twitter comments. That's kind of brilliant, and it scares me.
Yeah, man. So, like, I agree with what he was saying at the beginning about how, you know, I would at least love to be able to play the next Wolfenstein game on my PlayStation. I mean, that is my console of choice. I don't really like PC gaming all that much. I can't keep up with all that stuff. My PC always craps out. But, man, that exclusive content, like... I've heard of timed exclusives, but man, like, let's just say I was playing Fallout 4 on PlayStation, and then I couldn't play the add-ons, the Nuka World and Far Harbor add-ons, because I didn't have the proper console. Man,
I gotta say this, man. In the world of business, I think more than a podcast is playing 4D chess. Just saying.
Man, yeah.
All right, yeah. we're stuck playing checkers. It's Lamer Gamers Podcast. All right,
Connect Four, man. Dude, we're Candyland over here.
Shoots and ladders. Okay, Rowdy, let's go ahead and jump into the Twitter lamers. We're going to start with the Heckin' Call Podcast. They say that personally, I hope they don't, but realistically, they should. Halo Infinite is getting awfully lonely as the sole reason, I guess beside brand loyalty, to buy an Xbox Series X. Now, I would slightly disagree because I feel like, now Rowdy may disagree with me too, I feel like 2021 is the year of releasing your old games but prettier, and there's been a lot of reasons, if that's what you're there for, to play a rose-colored glasses version of older games. But yeah, you're right. As far as new games, though, not a whole lot to look forward to.
I mean, they could be getting there. I mean, with what a huge hit Ori was, like, mm-hmm. they may get there eventually.
All right, Rowdy, do you want to do the next two?
Man, so Ocho Duro Parlay Hour and Drink a Beer and Play a Game.
Both said
yes or yep.
Yep, yeah.
And then Will and Drew's Gaming Retrospective. I agree. Make all new ones exclusive from here on forward. Play dirty. Everyone else does. Make your system the go-to place for the next Elder Scrolls. And then Drink a Beer and Play a Game podcast replies, they need something to give people a reason to buy the brand. Yeah,
I think that's true.
It's all about the ecosystem, man.
All right, next up, Matt Varish from Video Games Lore Podcast. If they want to drag people away from their PlayStations, kicking and screaming, I added that part in, then yes. So, surprisingly, people are realizing, okay, well, yeah, that's going to be the decision you need to make, but not necessarily the one you want made. You want to go ahead and get Undead to the End.
Undead to the End, hashtag retro gaming, states, no, but if you make an investment that big, may as well get the most of it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's very true.
$7.5 billion with a B.
That's a lot. Okay, go ahead and get Project X Talk 2, because I'm gonna talk about the Harley Bashal Riders Flood one.
All right. Project X Talk states, yes, and they have as Phil Spencer stated yesterday, exclusives are what draws people to each specific system and breeds competition. Plus, Game Pass is available on Xbox, PC, phones, tablets, and TVs soon. Great service with almost no barrier to entry.
So, you know, in a lot of ways, they're doing what Stadia wanted to do, but with games like Fallout,
yeah,
and Skyrim. It's not going to be the best, but they have other things you can fall back on, you know, instead of just being their streaming service.
Dude, look, all I'm asking is for that $7.5 billion, could they please just stop Fallout 76?
Rowdy, you know, next week we're going to find out on the Lamer of the Week if it's really lame, or if Todd Howard is not or is lying to us.
Look, let's just put it this way.
I don't trust him.
How much did you pay for Fallout 76?
Nothing. It came with the Xbox One X.
Exactly. I paid full price. Actually, I take that back.
Sucks to be you.
There was a deluxe version of it, like a digital deluxe version, where some extra in-game stuff. I paid $70 for this game. Not
well, maybe 60. You should play it too.
Nah, man. I'm not a fan of self-inflicted pain.
Oh, okay. All right, let's go ahead and go to at Riders Flood. That's Harley Bashaw, who runs Better or Worse Studios. Says, thanks for the shout out. I really can't give my opinion on this, though, as I've never played a single game from them except Skyrim, and I don't really have enough opinion. So I had to ask because I wanted to be involved in the conversation. Would you be more likely to buy one of their consoles or go PC if they did not put the next Elder Scroll on PlayStation? And they replied, the platform doesn't really matter to me when it comes to gaming. I'll game on any platform. I just can't afford a PC right now. Hoping to get the new PlayStation / Xbox eventually. I may or may not get the new Elder Scrolls, as I'm not a huge fan of the series. So that led into a lot of discussions beyond there. So do you want to hit Console Gaming Crew Podcast, and then we'll just kind of flip-flop back and forth?
Yeah, so Console Gaming Crew Podcast stated, I truly believe they should make certain games for all consoles. While I understand that keeping them exclusive could generate revenue with consoles being bought, they would make their money back many times over with the games also being on other consoles. But I'm an optimist.
Next up, we have Anthony Shelton from I Am A Shelton, which also does work with, he's the YouTube producer for Gaming Trend, says, they're not going to make every Bethesda game exclusive, just the ones that will sell Game Pass and Xboxes, or make them timed exclusives at minimum. Project X-Talk jumped in.
Yeah, so the Project X-Talk states, Phil Spencer confirmed yesterday that all current games will remain legacy titles / communities that currently existive service. Okay, will continue to get support, but unless there are other contractual obligations, the deal is about bringing exclusive to places where Game Pass exists. So unless Game Pass comes to a PlayStation, you should not expect Bethesda titles on that platform. He also confirmed this in a tweet to Paris Lilly from the Kinda Funny X-Cast. It's all wrapped up. Yo,
so if you ever... It's going to happen.
Real quick, man. I love Kinda Funny, their podcasts and stuff like that. They actually just recently started their X-Cast, which was their Xbox podcast. God, how long ago was it? It was only supposed to be like a limited run, but people loved it, so they kept it going. And one of the guys that's on that used to work for some PC magazine in the 90s. I don't remember the name of it, so I'm not going to try and guess so people don't get mad. But he's also the guy who wrote The Book of Eli and Star Wars Rogue One. This dude knows his stuff when it comes to this kind of stuff. So you should definitely check out that Kinda Funny X-Cast, man. But hang on. So I want to go back to where they were talking about at least making timed exclusives. And this brings me back to when we had a rumor here a while back talking about Sony possibly getting Grand Theft Auto 6 as a timed exclusive. Yes. Now, if I paid $7.5 billion for a company, I would definitely make that exclusive. But if they want to try to avoid controversy, at least making Elder Scrolls a timed exclusive, that would definitely sell systems as well. Like, if you told me that I couldn't play Elder Scrolls for, like, the first 6 months unless I owned an Xbox... man, I might fork over the money.
I could see that. And yeah, console exclusive, then it comes to PC later would be kind of rough too.
Ooh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I didn't think about 40 chess.
Well, okay, also, though, but PC gamers are used to getting screwed like that, though. Like,
yeah, I honestly think they'd release a lot of those things to PC first, but there's not a humongous difference between the... I mean, the whole point of the Xbox is, right, it's DirectX box. You know, it's all DirectX enabled. So games are supposed to port pretty easily between the two, except you can get some better low-level programming into a console because you program for that one thing.
Dude, the fact that they can't just drag and drop to port it is astounding.
Well, that's what they're trying to do, you know, between the two systems. That's part of the ecosystem that they're really trying to develop between the everything now. What makes it, I think, interesting now is the, you know, they went with, what is it, NVIDIA? I always get them mixed up, AMD and NVIDIA. Who has the fancy 3060s, 3070s?
NVIDIA.
Nowadays? Okay, so I think, you know, they went with AMD with the Xbox and the PlayStation 5, right?
Yep.
But NVIDIA went their own separate route and developed DLSS, which I think is really blowing up the waters compared to what AMD's been doing. So I'm curious, you know, if there's going to be a lot of parity between PC and your gaming on the Xbox, because so many games are really targeting those new NVIDIA cards opposed to AMD's because they have DLSS. They're trying to catch up with AMD right now, and even the Xbox. They're trying to make these machine learning programs that do something similar, and they've been talking about it a little bit. We'll probably do a nerd alert whenever we get a little more information on that. But yeah, it's there's some craziness going on between the two worlds at the moment. All right, let's nerd. Go ahead and go to at Japan Lover 79 says, I think it would irritate a lot of gamers, but it's probably going to happen regardless.
Yeah, man, we got Anthony Shelton here again. I think this one may have been... Oh, he was replying a minute ago.
Yeah, the other one was replies. This is just so straight up. Yeah,
Anthony Shelton's straight up response is just, of course, you don't spend $7.5 billion to keep games multiplat. This is business. Business. This is business.
Business. All right, next up, Paranoid Android at Voxel Hero says, yes, the deal does not make sense otherwise.
I agree.
Agree.
I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm.
New Dad Gaming podcast states, I dread exclusives. Yes, they could push competition, but it does suck as a parent with kids and different tastes. I hope they go the Minecraft route and extend games once a period of exclusivity is over with. Yeah.
That could make sense. I mean, once they've tapped the potential for it, but... You just get Game Pass for a couple months and they've Trojan horsed into your house, you know? I think it's the standoff, really, at this point. All right. Tony Coffee at the underscore Goomba, who has a fantastic Twitter.
One of my favorite Twitters.
Yeah. Says, I hope not, but if they're smart, yes. Microsoft doesn't have an exclusives library to match the other two, but this could be a step into coming close. Yeah, definitely. I think the game is afoot, as the pun is there. I think this generation and the next couple years is going to get very interesting.
Next up, we have WT Famicom, podcast, says, no, yes, listen. I don't really have a horse in this race, but I love posting this picture of Mario a lot recently. So here, lol. And there's a picture of Mario that's holding what looks like at least a 9mm 1911 pistol pointed right at the screen.
Yeah. Man, you can tell Rowdy's from Texas. Okay, so... Mario is threatening us. We said we would do our best to properly describe the image to our listeners, and Rowdy did a fantastic job. All right, next up is Grief Burrito Podcast. They say, no, I don't think they should. I don't play their games, really, so it doesn't bother me personally. However, it would sour a lot of gamers' opinions on them if they did.
Yo, Dude, for real, Grief Burrito, you don't know the struggle. I am a huge Bethesda fan. Like, I play so many of their games. I mean, so many of their games. But I'm a Sony fan. I'm a diehard Sony fan. This hurts.
Dude,
it cut me deep.
I got to say, man, I've as a Nintendo fan that was finally looking to expand my library, because I was PC Nintendo, but it's gotten to the point to where the tablet, you know, man, I've used the excuse that, oh, I'm going to build a PC for my graphic design work or my illustration or my actual work that involves art. Well, it's gotten to the point to where tablets are good enough and actually a better vehicle for creation than a big old computer. So that's why I really jumped over to the Xbox, because it doesn't make sense for me to go spend, you know, over $1,000 on a computer that does gaming when I can spend $1,000 on a tablet that can be brought with me and is beyond good enough to do what I need professionally. I can't use that excuse anymore, man. So that's kind of what got me over. And this is fantastic for me as somebody that is a Nintendo plus PC gamer that has kind of jumped over. So, all right, guys, that looks like that is it for the bonus points from Twitter. But we have a couple more from Discord. Rowdy, if you want to check the notes that are at the bottom, we are going to start with GW Discord, which Owen Koenig at the GW Discord says quite vociferously, no. Microsoft has already been pivoting towards being more in a publisher role. Selling across all platforms will do them and the gaming industry more than if it's exclusive. So they're wanting to make it not exclusive because he thinks that'll help the overall gaming industry.
But when have they ever been? When has anybody been about helping the gaming industry when it comes to actually making money?
That's true. I mean, look at crossplay and the constant fight between crossplay and then keeping it just on your system. I love crossplay. Like, I want it for Diablo 2 coming up, right? But, you know, from a business decision, cross saving makes a lot more sense, because then you can get them to buy two of them.
Dude, so. you're gonna buy Diablo 2 for PlayStation, and you don't even own one. Like, you're just gonna buy like every single version of it.
I am getting a PlayStation 5 at some point. At this point, you know, a lot of that for the PlayStation 5 too is to play those PlayStation 4 games, and it's actually a pretty good argument to pick one up because they give you all those old games. But
dude, PlayStation 4s are actually selling more than PlayStation 5s right now.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I went on Amazon the other day, and a PlayStation 4 popped up, and it was selling for over $600 brand new.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh.
That's a weird, weird thing going on there. But yeah it's going to happen. I'm looking for a new game, I think, that's compelling enough to make me really want to play it before I do that. Because I know all the other good stuff. When does that come out? It's not going to be this year, is it?
Man, God, it was, well, they said God of War was coming out, like,
I think they,
I want to say,
back
second quarter of this year, but it's going to get pushed back like everything else.
Yeah, so, you know, that's this year, you know, I got so much to play, and Microsoft keeps buying things and throwing them at me for $15 a month. So, I think I'm stuck. All right, Rowdy, the amazing LSB.
The amazing LSB states, Microsoft already publishes games on other platforms and services. I could easily see them publishing games on other consoles as well. I mean, I get it, like, publishing all that stuff, but again, $7.5 billion.
All right. So it looks like something did not save on here, Rowdy, from the Texas Discord. So I'm gonna go ahead and hop over there and read those out. So by the way, as far as what he's saying, you know, they have released things on other consoles, I don't think it's though I think it's still part of the Trojan horse thing, right? They've released things like Ori on the Switch and the PlayStation. They've released some of their other games. I think they're just trying to give you a taste of what they can do nowadays, because they've become pretty legit as developers, and saying, okay, well, the next one is going to be on Game Pass. Hope you enjoy not playing it in the future. I think that's really kind of what they're doing here. So, yeah. All right, let's go ahead. I'm going to hop over to the Texas Discord server. Palf says, Microsoft didn't buy ZeniMax to share with the other competitors, but I'll miss the Todd Howard memes about porting TES games to everything. So Elder right? Scrolls games. What I want to know is, will they keep a high focus on Elder Scrolls and Fallout? I think they are. I think they're going to really focus on it now and make you hurt if you don't have a system. You know, Bethesda wasn't the best with Q&A and bug testing. That is a potential added benefit, though. If you're developing just for PC and Xbox, which are similar ecosystems, does that fix some of the bugs? Probably not. But, I mean, would it be a Bethesda game if it didn't have glaringly obvious bugs? Do we lose magic without technical bug snacks? So, all right. Next up, Manny Ride says, Bethesda isn't good at using anything other than their dated engine they have been using since Skyrim, I think. Ooh. Yeah, there are a lot of salty people. I really hope Microsoft will tell them to get out of their creation engine and use something newer. I kind of agree there. They can use the same engine that's being developed on Halo Infinite or something Microsoft has a license to instead of whatever Bethesda is using for Starfield. I think whatever they were using with Obsidian's Outer Worlds game would be fine. You know, something in that vein, you know. I'm curious to see what they have, because we will see Starfield before the end of this year in some form or fashion.
I need to see what this Starfield is all about.
It's going to be a field of stars.
Oh, my God. It's just going to be the re-release version of that screensaver from the 90s where stars are flying at you.
Yeah. I feel like Obsidian kind of undercut them with Outer Worlds, because it's very much in that sort of sci-fi genre. But Outer Worlds is definitely not as, I guess, serious. Yeah, oh, the game's very aloof. There's a lot of humor in it. We'll see what Starfield is. I'm afraid it's going to be like a almost too serious, you know? So,
yeah.
All right, next up, Palf replied, well, they're just too reliant on modders to fix everything.
Oh.
Oh, snap.
Somebody just took an arrow to the knee.
Well, they have a this arrow pointing to that one, too, as a reply. games cost $60 right now, and I have to wait for unpaid hobbyists to fix it for me. I'm clicking that this because, you know, if you go to the mods on the Xbox for both Skyrim and Fallout 4, there are people that put in bug fixes. They're like called the unofficial Epic patches and stuff like that. So, in which Manny Ride replied, one day their community will just walk like those of Marvel Avengers and Anthem. I don't think we're to that point, though. You know? Because Marvel Avengers, maybe it would have been better if they allowed mods. Maybe Anthem would have been better if they allowed mods. You know?
I mean, I think Marvel's Avengers would have been better if they just didn't make it.
Truth. I watched gameplay of that with a friend, and I was just like, oh, this hurts to watch. I couldn't imagine playing it.
I mean, it was fun for the first couple of hours, then it was a damn slog.
Yeah, it sounds near like the we're talking end. About Watch Dogs.
Oh,
all right. I think that's it, Rowdy. I think that's it for bonus points. I was expecting things to go one way. I was expecting people to say, no, this is bad. stop it, Microsoft. And then they hit it with a rolled up newspaper. But instead, we had a very wide range of responses. We had some people that scare me a little bit with their business mind, decision making. And
looking at you, James.
That was a fantastic answer, though. I'm messing with you a little bit, but good Lord, that was a great perspective on that I have not seen anywhere. All right, guys, I think that's it for this episode, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I've got.
All right, guys, we will see you in a couple weeks when we have the next episode of the Lamer Gamers Podcast.